This morning, let's ask ourselves, how do we, and well, this is our belief, because we're talking about how we look at ourselves, how do we believe that we see our standard of holiness compared to God's perfect holiness? Where do you think you measure up at? So, in order to do that, you got to understand what is your standard of holiness. You know, believers and non-believers alike have a standard of holiness. So, what is that standard of holiness? And it is what you place what you value. It's what you place your value in. That's your standard of holiness. Now, it would be hard to compare your standard of holiness to God's perfect godliness or holiness if we're not living in Christ, because there could be no comparison, because our standard of holiness wouldn't even resemble His perfect holiness. So without the holiness of God, then the Bible says that you won't see the Lord, because we have to have His holiness abiding within us. So we have to have faith, His truth, His righteousness, His mercy, His grace, all of these things. We have to have those qualities within us. Now, even though we're not as holy as God would want us to be, God's still a just God. And He's merciful, He's gracious, He loves us, and He will judge us fairly. And because He will judge us fairly, then that shows humanity that there is a standard of holiness, and that standard of holiness is a requirement of salvation so that we might acquire eternal life. That's what it's all about. So a lot of people look at themselves and see what they place their value in, and they say, well, we're doing really good because we're succeeding in this life. Just because we're succeeding in life doesn't mean that that's the right thing to do, because it doesn't mean that that's what God has in store for us to do. And a lot of people think that because they're succeeding in life, that God will change His perfect holiness to meet our standard of holiness. And that doesn't work either, because God will not change His standard to fit our standard. We have to change to fit His. So God's standard is far higher and far greater than what any of us could ever meet, His expectations. But He gives us the strength and the ability and the power to strive towards it. That's what He does for us in our life. And the reason that He does it is because God does not like sin. Because sin, the Bible says, sin is an abomination to the Lord. Now, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, but first, before we go to, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to just quickly look at a verse in Isaiah chapter 59. And it's verse 59, it's chapter 59, verse 2. It says, "But your iniquities," or your sin, "have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Now, we're talking about godly people here, because He was talking to the children of Israel. So we know that there are Christian people in the world today that think that it's okay to just sit idly by and let God keep us. And contrary to what a lot of those types of Christian people think, there is no idle position in Christ. When you read the Word of God, he says, I would rather have you what? On one side or the other, but not in the middle. Because it's he said, if you're in the middle, I'll do what? I'll spew you out of my mouth. So, we're either going to be growing in grace. Now, when we're talking about Christian people here, so we're either going to be growing in grace, we're going to be maturing spiritually, or we're going to be weakening spiritually in our life. One of the two things. Because there is no idle position in the Lord. So, either we have a secure eternal position in Christ, or we're going to suffer the consequences of the self-righteousness that we live in. So, it is only if we live by faith or live a life of faith, and as we walk in the Spirit and truth, this is the only way that we're never going to get to God's standard of holiness, but we can get to where we reflect the holiness of God. So, if we go back into the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and that's what he's talking about here, Isaiah chapter 6, these first 8 verses, and we're going to see a little bit about what we have to do in our life in order to be able to reflect the holiness of God. So, Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and here's what he said. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. What a wonderful vision that he was given. And he said, above it, now keep these verses in mind because you're going to get these in Sunday school, in Bible Wednesday night Bible study sometime. And he said, and above it stood the seraphims. Each had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, and this is when he was, this is how the vision affected him. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then he goes on to say, then one of the seraphims flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. So, when standing in the presence of God, what do you feel? What should you feel? Now, I guess another question then we have to ask ourselves is, when do you feel like you're standing in the presence of God? Anytime, sometimes, part of the time? Should be all the time. As a Christian, you are standing in the presence of God at all times. Now, do we always feel like we're standing in the presence of God all the time? No, we don't. And we see that in this scripture that we're talking about today. He said, Isaiah said, when I stand in the presence of God, here is the first thought that comes to my mind, and you can find scripture over in the New Testament about this. He said, the first thing that comes to my mind is, he said, I have to examine myself. So, at every moment of every day, as we're in the presence of God, God wants us to examine ourselves. And the reason he wants us to do that is because Isaiah said, when I began to examine myself, I seen how unworthy I was to God, because, not because of myself, but because of the sinfulness that I allow to be in my life. Paul, if you go over into Paul's letters, Paul said, I have to what? I have to die every day. Because I examine myself and I see things in my life that aren't pleasing to God. God shows them to me. Here's what I see. So, but Isaiah went on to say, he said, now, if I examined myself amongst all the people that I'm around, he said, I'm actually a pretty good person. Because I'm not judging myself according to the Lord. I'm judging myself according to the world. But he said, when I compare myself to the perfection of God, he said, I have to stand afar off. Meaning, I'm just not worthy, because I was once a sinner, but now, if you go over into the New Testament, everybody says, oh, we're all sinners saved by grace. You show me that verse in the Bible and I'll say, okay, that's fine. There is no verse in the Bible that says you are sinners saved by grace. There is a verse in the Bible, if you go over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. But you'll not find a verse in the Bible that says you're a sinner saved by grace. We were sinners. We are saved by the grace of God. Now, we belong to the family of God. Are you still a sinner? No, you're not still a sinner. Are you still going to sin? Yes, you're still going to sin. But you are not in a classification that you are still a sinner saved by grace. So, a lot of times when we stand within the truth of God's Word, and we allow the reality of God's holiness to overwhelm us, a lot of times that we don't pray for God to show us those things in our life that aren't pleasing unto Him is because there's a lot of things that we have going on in our life, and we just feel that they're insignificant. But there is nothing in our life that is insignificant to God. Everything means something to God. So that's why he wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow in faith. That so that we don't allow, when we compare ourselves to the perfection of God, and Isaiah could have done it here, but he didn't. Because when you get down to that last verse, you'll see he didn't. But a lot of Christians, when they compare themselves to the perfection of God, it is just so overwhelming that they say, I just can never get there, so what's the use to try? I'll just be what I am, and one day I'll go on to be with the Lord. But there is a lot more to our Christian life than that. And that's what Isaiah is trying to get us to see here. That we can do so much better. And we should want to do so much better. Because the better we do, the more people we'll see come into the body of Christ. The more people that will be able to be saved. So we learn as we go through our Christian life. And a lot of Christians don't understand this. Sometimes we forget it ourselves. We belong to God. And if and when we begin to understand that, then that means that everything that we do is supposed to represent God. Not ourselves, not the world around us, but it's supposed to represent God. So that means that while we're living our life here upon this earth, then what should come out of our mouth would be the truth of God's Word. So when you live in a world, because Isaiah said, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. We can't use that as an excuse. So we have to make sure that when we come into the presence of God, it's with sincerity, it's with humility, and it's seeking to do what God's will is for our life. So that means that a lot of times people think when they come to the Lord and they cry out to the Lord that the Lord's, He'll just take our guilt away and everything will be fine. But God's not going to do that, because He wants us to understand the guilt that we are feeling. Now, He will and does assure us through His Word that if we bring that unto Him, that He will give us an atonement for that. If the Bible says over in 1 John, he says if we ask for forgiveness of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have everything that we have comes through the salvation that we have gotten from the Lord. So if you go over into the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and if you start with verse 13, he says, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." So when you read down through that and you begin to study that, take that passage of Scripture home and study it a little bit. But when you begin to study it a little bit, what now would you say that your standard of holiness is as a Christian? And as you read down through there, what would you believe are the things that you should place your value in? So he tells us there, we either place it in worldliness or we place it in godliness. It all comes down to the question that we have to ask ourselves: which way are we going to turn in our life? And the answer would be, we're going to turn to that we think is the most meaningful to us in our life. So if, as Christians, we're not living our full potential to the world, then that means that God is probably not going to be the thing that is most meaningful to us. And we tend to turn towards the world. So when we begin to look at those things that we place our value in, we understand that as we live this life here upon this earth, it's very difficult us to keep our hearts and our minds set on those things that have eternal value, because Satan puts a lot of things in front of us. They're things of worldly value, but they're things that are really pleasing unto us that we would like to have. So there's going to be times in our life that our thoughts are not on those things of eternal value, but they're on things of worldly value that we see, and they're things that are their desires of our heart that shouldn't be there, because they're worldly desires and they're not desires of things that Christ would have us to have. In Colossians, he tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he says, listen to this, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. But when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So we learn through these passages of scriptures, one in Peter, one in Colossians, that we learn what our standard of holiness is all about. We are to reflect the things of God. Our eternal perspective and our eternal focus shouldn't be on man, but it should be on things that are of godliness. And if the reason that he tells us to set our things, our mind, on things that are above and not on things of the earth is because Christ isn't on this earth. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. So God had a plan for Christ when he came to this earth. And what was that plan? His plan was that his life, his death, and his resurrection would glorify God. What is the plan that God has for each of us as we live our life on this earth? It is the same thing. It is a plan that our life, our death, our resurrection, everything would glorify God. It all comes down to that glorifies God, and that glorifies God is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what glorifies God. So if we want our eternal perspective in our mind to be in the right place, then we have to follow after God's plan. So if you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he says, "And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So God's standard of holiness is not a man-made standard and can never be a man-made standard. It's produced by God, and it is given to us through the Word of God. And if we read and we study and we meditate on the contents of the Word of God, just like we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, the Word of God is what's going to change your heart and your life. You hear people out there in the world today, something has happened. Oh, that was a life-changing event for me. Well, I can tell you, if it was of the world, it was not a life-changing event for you. You might have allowed it to do something to your life, but only God can make life-changing events happen in your life. Those things can only come from God. A lot of people think that holiness, once we're saved, we think, well, where do we go from here? And this is why you have all the different religions, all the different religious movements, everything going on in the world today. Because now, in order for me to keep up with my holiness, I've got to have something brand new going on in my life all the time. So if God's not going to give me something brand new, then I'll just invent it. So we have all these religious movements going on around the world today because people have invented brand new things that think that it makes them holy. But what we don't understand, that if you want to become holier in the Lord, it's not making up something brand new to do it. It's going deeper into the Word of God that you already have. That's how we become holier in the Lord. Something new that man has come up with, it might make you feel good. The Bible says those are what? Things that are seasonable, they're only going to last for a moment. And if you see most of the big revivals, most of the big movements, all the charismatic stuff, that they've came and they've went. They've came and they've went. That's because people try to invent something new that they think helps them to feel more holy. Only God can do that through the Word of God. And most of your young Christians, that's boring. But it's not boring if we allow God to work with it in our life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "Seeing you have purified your souls with obeying the truth through the Spirit." And that is the truth of the Word of God. We cannot reflect God's holiness by looking at the world. The only way that we can reflect the holiness of God is by looking into the Word of God. That's it. Anything that man creates, anything new that man comes up with, those standards will change. Because man cannot follow after his own unchangeable standard, because it is changeable. God's Word, on the other hand, the Bible says that God's Word is settled where? In heaven. And He says it'll stand the test of all time. So, if you want to live a holy life, if you want to live a life reflecting the holiness of God, then desire the Word of God. It's not boring. So, we must seek after and be obedient to the Word of God. Anything else would be less, and it would mean that seeking after and running after those things might make you feel good for a little while, but it'll never make you a complete servant of God. Never. God's Word is the only reliable standard that we can use, that we might be able to reflect the true holiness of God. It can only come by the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's certainly with thankful hearts that You give not only us, but Lord, all over this world today, people that are gathered together, Lord, looking and expecting Your return, Heavenly Father, and talking about the saving grace, Lord, that gives us that eternal life. We're just so thankful that we have that, Lord, within the body of Christ. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can come together and encourage one another and lift one another up, Lord, and be able, Lord, to help one another see through the Word of God how important it is to follow after Your standard of holiness and to reflect, Lord, the characteristics of You. And we just pray today, Lord, as we've lifted many up in prayer, we've got many others around us that are in need for all that is going on, Lord, around us and in the world. We just know, Lord, that You are in control, and we would just pray, Lord, that as You continue to work, that You would allow us to be a small part of that work, Heavenly Father, so that we might be able to point others or to show others what the saving grace of Your Son Christ is all about. Just continue, Lord, to help us to follow after You. Continue, Lord, to help us to do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto You, Heavenly Father, that we might always look to You for forgiveness of our sins, and, Lord, that we might always be thankful for the things that You have in store for us in our life. We just pray this day, Lord, that You would help us not to be unworthy, but You would help us to be worthy, and that You would help us to be forgiving, and that we would be able to go through our life. And we ask all these things in Thy most precious and holy name. And amen.